Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way.
Welcome back. Hello, Adi.
Hey.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We have an awesome show for you, planned for you. We have an awesome show planned for you today.
We have an awesome show for you, planned for you today.
Today, we are going to finally start answering your questions that you've been leaving for us.
Yes. Super excited. I did say, just a correction, in the last episode, I said we would be answering the questions like that week. But now we're doing it this week. I made a mistake somewhere
this is
in there,
the time.
So I apologize.
Now is the time, we promise.
Today.
Before we get started, we want to thank all of you that have taken the time to leave us reviews. That is one of the ways that really not only motivate us, but also help us reach more people. Every time you leave a review, it helps the show grow and it puts the show in front of new eyeballs. And we really appreciate that. And we've got one that I want to highlight from someone that calls themselves Lynn Score. And he or she says, "These guys are the real deal. They cover so many topics, which are all so interesting. I really enjoy their podcast because they don't talk for hours and hours about random stuff. We do that off of the podcast. Their messages are clear and concise with actionable steps in each podcast. I've already implemented many things they recommend, and it's been a game changer." Lynn Score.
Makes our day.
You're the best.
It's really awesome just to get the feedback on what's working for you guys, what you love. Tell us how amazing we are. It makes us feel good for sure and also helps us grow this show. So we really appreciate you guys.
And words of affirmation are very high up in both of our love languages. And it seriously motivates us to keep doing this and to keep exploring ways of making it better.
Yeah, totally.
Which is what we're going to do today.
Yes.
So without further ado, let's play this first question.
Hi, Adi and Michael. My name is Sarah from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm wondering about intuitive eating and estimating. I love the sustainability of WAG, and I'm so impressed with the results I've gotten. But I'm wondering about the time frame of moving away from tracking every single day. How did both of you do this, if you actually have done this? And what do I need to think about in terms of maintaining my results, but also not being attached to my fitness pal and my phone when trying to be present in my daily life? Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah. That is an awesome question. And it's so good that we're actually going to create an entire episode all about that one question. At WAG, we are really in the business of helping people build skills that they can take with them for the rest of their lives.
And it sounds like Sarah's already doing a really amazing job, and she's made a lot of success and definitely already giving some huge kudos to what she's already done.
Accomplished. And we talk a lot about the fact that we don't want people to have to continue working with us forever. Our end goal with every person is that they reach a place where they can eat intuitively and they can maintain all of the habits and they can use all of the skills and tools that they learned by working with a coach at WAG.
Yeah.
And then do that in every part of their life.
Yeah, especially if that is what is going to make you feel your best. If tracking your food forever is just not what you want to do, then we don't want you to do that. If tracking your food is something that doesn't stress you out, is not a compulsion, is not like causing you any harm, then you can do that too. But whatever it is, we want you to reach the end of your time with us, knowing, you know, what can sustain you for the next couple months, couple years, and then know that you can always come back if you need a little bit of a pep talk or recalibrating.
So before we really dive into how to achieve this, let me take a stab at defining it, and you just correct me.
Yeah, intuitive eating.
Yeah, what is intuitive eating in the first place? So I'll just talk about it from the way that I observe you eating. We just did the episode, we just released the episode on our Europe trip and how you behaved there in terms of your nutrition. And I think that was a great example. I think intuitive eating is the ability to either strive towards goals or maintain your current body composition state or your current mindset as it relates to nutrition, while also allowing yourself to enjoy social events and eating out and whatever things in life that you want to do. Intuitive eating means you have skills and knowledge to maintain your progress that you've worked so hard to make.
Mm-hmm. It's being able to eat in the way that makes you feel your best, helps you look your best, and enjoy your life at the same time without the rigidity of needing to follow specific steps or specific guidelines or needing to track things or needing to do anything that is really, really structured. It's being able to have the intuition within yourself to know what is going to work for you and make mm-hmm. you feel your best. It's a set of skills for sure.
So when we started our trip to Europe, you went in at a relatively lean body composition.
Yeah, like close to the leanest I've been.
Right.
For sure.
And at the end of the trip, you weighed pretty much exactly the same. And throughout the trip, you were pretty dialed in, but you also didn't, like, you allowed yourself to eat out and enjoy these new foods that you had never had before. And so you weren't restricting yourself. Mm-hmm. And so it's this ability to maintain the progress that you've worked so hard to make while also enjoying food.
Yeah. And I wasn't stressing about it. I think that's a huge thing too. Sometimes having the rigidity of a structured program helps you avoid stressing because you know that you're following the rules, you know you're making progress. But when you have more freedom with intuitive eating, that can actually become more stressful, not knowing if you're making the right choices. But I knew intuitively that I was making the best choices for me, and I could tell based on the way my body was feeling, and I wasn't worried about, you know, gaining weight or losing weight or not being able to perform in the gym or any of that type of stuff. I was able to just focus on everything else other than food.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have to really occupy my thoughts that much.
Yeah, we've used the term nutritional freedom before, and I think that's really what this is all about, like having true freedom in your nutrition world.
Yeah. And there are definitely some people out there that can naturally eat intuitively. You know, they eat in a way that it doesn't completely consume them, and they don't worry about gaining weight, and they don't stress about, am I making a good choice, a healthy choice? There are people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not the people that we're talking to right now. We're talking to people that are more like you and more like me, who unrestrained can definitely end up in a place that we use food to feel good in the moment or to cope or to just indulge. And that ends up having us not feeling our best. So this is like the set of skills that can help you do it all.
So if intuitive eating, reaching that state, is like the top of the nutrition pyramid, mm-hmm. the top of the freedom pyramid, let's break out the base layers.
Okay, so I thought about this before this episode, and I was thinking, like, what are the steps that can help you get to nutritional freedom? And just like the nutrition pyramid, which you've done an episode on that before, you can skip levels, you might have to go back a level. This is just like steps that can get you there. There's different ways of getting there for everybody. But the base and the biggest piece of the pyramid, which is where you're going to get 80% of your progress or the most bang for your buck, like that is where the most of your focus should be. And it's also generally the most mundane and boring. And that layer in this scenario is building discipline. And so what I mean by building discipline, it's just honoring your commitments to yourself. So when you're just starting towards, I want to be able to lose weight, achieve all my goals, look my best, feel my best, and enjoy my life at the same time, the first thing you need to start doing is honor the commitments that you make to yourself. So build your integrity and your confidence that you can do the things that you say you're going to do. And once you have that at the bottom, protecting your confidence with like as fiercely as possible, then you can start moving up. Without the ability to honor your own commitments and to be disciplined, it's going to be really difficult to build any type of skill. That's from sport to business to nutrition to anything in life, you have to have some level of discipline in order to be able to progress.
Right. You have to have the ability to think about a way in which you want to change and then have your behavior match that vision for your future.
Exactly. So the base layer of the pyramid is just building discipline. And that might be a million different things. I would definitely, in that instance, if you've never had any experience with nutrition before, pick really, really small things. Like really small things like eating more vegetables than you eat usually. So maybe this week you have one vegetable every day when you don't eat any vegetables at all, or having a palm-sized amount of protein in each meal, or eating out at a restaurant one less time than usual. Something really manageable that can be incredibly difficult to not follow through on, because the beginning is about protecting your confidence with yourself. And if you catch yourself in situations where you're making promises consistently and you're not following through on them, you start losing trust with yourself. And you end up where I've seen tons of people in this place where they're just like, I can't do this. I'm never going to be able to do this. I just have to accept the fact that this is going to be my body forever, and this is going to be something that I struggle with forever. Mm-hmm. And that's just not a place that I want anybody to be.
So most of the listeners of this show, I think, are... they've probably had an experience with lots of different diets, and mm-hmm. in a lot of areas, they're already very disciplined, but maybe they binge on the weekends, or they have a lot of trouble eating out or going to family gatherings or traveling. How does this base layer apply to them?
So it would be getting to a place where you can start managing those types of scenarios, but it is actually higher up on the pyramid. We will get to those more difficult types of scenarios. Right now, it's just those people I think would have already mastered the base of the pyramid. You already know that you can be disciplined. You already know that you can make promises to yourself and follow through on them. Most people listening to this podcast are already reasonably disciplined and can probably move to the next layer of the pyramid, which the first layer, the base, is like really for beginner, right? Then the next stage is going to – and it's one that you have to always maintain. Mm-hmm. You can't just like move up the pyramid and stop being disciplined. It doesn't work that way. Your pyramid will crumble, right? If the base is just – if it goes smaller and smaller, it topples over. The whole shape ends up getting messed up. I love the pyramid for those like actual imagery effects of it. But the next stage would be just understanding the composition of food items. So – this is all about nutrition. So I have discipline. I can honor my commitments. Then I want to understand what is actually in the food that I'm eating. How many carbs, fats, proteins are in the food that I'm actually eating? What does a portion size look like? What does a portion size of cheese, unfortunately, is 28 grams. What does that actually look like? Like 1 ounce of cheese is not very much. How much cheese are you eating every time you eat cheese? How many calories are in my food? That type of thing.
And how do all of those things affect the way that I feel and look?
So that would be the next layer of the pyramid. Mm. So base layer of the pyramid is just building discipline. Then it's understanding the composition of food. And I make these separate just because it's like I don't want people to have so much pressure from the beginning. It's like you don't have to understand the composition of food items and understand the way that it makes you feel in order to be making progress. Just understanding the composition of food items mm-hmm. and their portion sizes is making progress towards nutritional freedom. So that is the next layer, what you're talking about. So the next layer would be to measure in many ways how the food is making your body feel and change. So that's how is it affecting your body weight? How is it affecting your measurements? How is it affecting your performance in the gym? Is it helping you move towards your goals? Is it helping, you know, this would be like where tracking comes into play. So I understand the composition of food items. I understand where carbs, fats, and proteins are in my food. And then I start getting into a more dialed in to eventually become more flexible. Mm-hmm. So that's how this pyramid is going to work. You're going to get more disciplined, more dialed in, build your skills so that eventually you can not need to rely on like the hard work as much because it's already so ingrained. Kind of like a lot of people who listen to this podcast do Olympic style weightlifting. When you first learn how to snatch, you just use a PVC pipe. And then you really have to think about it. First pull, second pull, contact at the hip, pull it close to the body, catch. Like you're thinking about it over and over. And then eventually you reach this place where your body just knows how to do the movement. That's exactly what we're doing here, except with nutrition. So build discipline, understand the composition of food items and portion sizes, and then start measuring measuring it and keeping track of it to see how it affects your body. Mm-hmm. So try and keep carb, fats, and protein the same each day and see how that affects your body weight. Or try and keep calories the same and see how that affects your body weight. And start understanding what makes you feel best. Like maybe you take out gluten and that makes you feel really great. Or maybe you take out dairy and that really helps you. Or you notice some intolerances that you have or gut issues. Or that's where we're starting to like really dive into where you're going to actually achieve your goals and get to a place that you want to maintain or make adjustments mm-hmm. in order to help you get there.
So if someone's not working with a coach and they're not tracking all of their stuff in our software system, Seismic, mm-hmm. what's an appropriate way to track these things?
Yeah, I think there's an amazing number of resources out there. There's so many really inexpensive calculators out there that can help you figure out how many carbs, fats, and proteins you should be eating in a day. There's probably a dietitian or nutritionist near you that you can go to and see in person. And then there's also like the most accessible, which would be just downloading an app like MyFitnessPal. And MyFitnessPal will allow you to track your food every day. And then you can see how many calories you've eaten. It'll show you how many carbs, fats, and protein you've eaten in a day. And then you can start monitoring your changes through there. It allows you to put photos in there and weights and all sorts of stuff. So those would be like the most accessible resources, I think, to anybody.
Love it. And then I think in terms of attaching the how much you're eating, the calories and macros with how you're feeling, I think just writing about it is a tremendous way, whether it's in a journal or you have some kind of Google Doc or any place to write about how you're actually feeling. And that's one of the benefits of actually working with a coach. You have this space to articulate what's going on in your head in relation to your food. But Adi and I, in the beginning of this year, we journaled every single day for a few months.
She
was very consistent. I was not as consistent. It really taught us a lot and helped us build self-awareness around how we were feeling and why we were feeling the way that we were in relation to what we were eating. Mm-hmm. So super, super powerful.
Yes. I totally agree with that. I did just one page all about my food. So the next step in the pyramid is what you were talking about earlier. So at this point, like, you're disciplined, you understand what your food is, you've tracked to see, you know, what's helping me make progress. Maybe you've achieved your goals, maybe you're still struggling. And then the next step is going to be tackling difficult scenarios. So that would be the scenarios you're talking about, like people who already have those three layers of the pyramid down, mm-hmm. but then they go to a wedding and they mess up, or on the weekend they binge, or they travel and they just like can't find a way to not indulge in food, or that is like what they don't want to feel restricted at all. So that mm-hmm. means they go all the way on the other side of the spectrum.
I want to highlight for a second that this is the most, like most of the people that come to us are these types of people. They've tried many diets before, they're super disciplined, but they have these things that like one, two, or three things that are really challenging that keep them from meeting their goals.
Yeah.
And so I think this is one of the biggest things that we help people with is yeah. overcome these challenges.
And it could be as simple as you head into the office and there's boxes of cheesecake in the meeting room and you just can't resist. And tackling those difficult scenarios is the next step to being able to eat more intuitively or to achieve that nutritional freedom. When those types of scenarios, you have strategies, habits, boundaries that you've created for yourself that you feel confident that you can actually stick to, then you can move on to the next step. And this is definitely the most, it's how many up? It's the fourth layer of the pyramid. That's like, if you've got the first three, you are crushing it. Like you really are crushing it. This next step is the most difficult for most people. It's why we have this diet culture of achieving your goals and then rebounding back because, man, life happens all the time and we don't set ourselves up for those really difficult scenarios or figure out how to tackle them. And in our minds, we think that it's like, oh, it's only this one time. But there's always this one time. Like there's always someone's birthday and there's always the meeting room and there's always a travel that mm-hmm. we want to go to or there's always something, you know? So being able to tackle these difficult scenarios and finding the way that works for you is what we do best to help people get to that place. And then
Before we move on.
Okay.
So we've already done two episodes on what might be the most challenging scenarios, which are one, travel. We've done at least one episode on travel that you can go back and look at. You can also find our episode on eating out at restaurants and social events, where we talk about different mindsets and specific strategies to overcome these. Other than that, are there any shifts in perspective or changes in mindset that people should have when trying to tackle difficult scenarios?
Yeah, I think I've talked about this so many times before, but I really think it's so important that when you're tackling a difficult scenario, not if you're aiming to be perfect the next time you enter that difficult scenario, you're ultimately just going to feel shameful or guilty or like a failure. And that's not going to be a benefit to you in terms of being able to tackle it next time. So a great example would be me tackling Christmas at your parents', which is really, really difficult. And if I went into Christmas at your parents' expecting myself to be on point and not have a single dessert and not have a single Cajun Southern fried gravy filled delicious buttery, like it's not like, do you want
something that you can't pronounce?
Do you want green beans with your butter and cheese? Like, that's really what it is. And if I expect myself to not have any of that and to exercise every day and to sleep and all those things, I'm not going to be able to, and I'm going to fail. So the mindset shift is really just being slightly better than the time before. So this year, I just want to be a little bit better than we were last year. We were not perfect last year, but we were way better than the year before that. I think people should really keep that in mind and remember that you're human and this is really hard stuff, and just be kind and compassionate with yourself. And you can do it right a couple times and completely fail the next time. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean anything about who you are or how disciplined you are or how amazing you are. It means nothing. So I think I would just keep that in mind.
Yeah, I would add kind of a metaphor. I think the most powerful thing that we do in this area of life, as well as maybe others as well, is that we think about it like we're playing a game. So we plan for it ahead of time. We have conversations. We make a literal game plan about how we want to eat or how we want to behave. Then we go and we have this experience. And then afterwards, we almost always revisit like what went well, what didn't, what do we want to do next time?
Yeah.
And a lot of times I feel like we're not making any progress, but then all of a sudden we just crush it and we like level up. And I think it's this this aspect of being intentional about how we want to behave and then just continuing to iterate on it. Mm-hmm. And just thinking about it as something that we can't, but that we can improve rather than something that's a fixed trait in us.
Right. And so at this point in the pyramid, we've really like increased the amount of work and time and effort we need to spend on our nutrition. We're being disciplined, we're tracking our food, we're understanding serving sizes, and we're tackling difficult scenarios. So some people might be thinking like, I thought this was about nutritional freedom. Mm-hmm. But I want you to remember that discipline equals freedom. So being more disciplined will ultimately give you more freedom in the end. And we're going to start moving more into the more flexibility and more freedom category.
And as you continue to practice these things over a long period of time, they become habits, they become automatic, and they take no effort mm-hmm. at some point.
Yes. Nobody can tell you how long that's going to take. And for those of you that are thinking like, oh my gosh, that's just so much work, or it's too hard, think about what the other option is. The other option might be to be unhappy and to be like, to not love your body. And I would encourage you just to take at least one step in the direction of trying to be more in control of your nutrition and understanding yourself more. Because even that one step is just going to make you feel awesome, and it's worth it. So I hope that you guys are willing to do the work. But now we've gotten there. You know, we're four layers deep. Our pyramid's getting super tall. And then now what do we do? So now the next step is to incorporate freedom at a pace that can help you remain successful. So this is where things actually get really tricky, and they're very dynamic, and it's different for every single person. So on one end of the spectrum, you can have somebody who's incredibly rigid and really finds an incredible amount of comfort tracking their food. And it just makes them feel really great. And they have this fear that not tracking their food means that they're going to lose all the skills and habits that they have. And it might be a little bit like Sarah, like not 100% sure that is Sarah, but she's had a lot of success. She knows tracking works for her. She loves her body and she loves the success that she's gotten. And now there's a little bit of fear of like, will I be able to do this without being that dialed in? So at this point, incorporating freedom can be tricky. So it's kind of like somebody who's a drug addict and they go to rehab and then they're being like reintegrated into the real world. It's like, will I be able to do this? Like, can I stay sober? Like, can I do this without, you know, being in an in-treatment center? Mm-hmm. You know how there's like a there's phases in between, right? There's like aftercare. Like aftercare, yep. Right? So this is kind of like that. It's like, how do we incorporate some aftercare that is at a pace that we can still check in and make sure that you're still being successful? And this really looks different for every single person. And I do think that working with a coach is a really great opportunity for this, just because they can keep you in check in what's your emotions and what is actually helping you and you, or where are you actually really doing well? Because in these moments, it can be really easy to feel like you're regressing when you might not actually be regressing. So a couple things that might be incorporating freedom might be having a meal where you just don't track your food. And it seems super simple, but for somebody who's had a lot of success and achieved the body that they've always dreamed of by tracking their food, imagine how terrifying it might be to be like, I'm just not going to do that. I know it's terrifying. So maybe it's just one meal. And then that meal creates a container. Like at the start of this meal, I'm not tracking my food, but before it, I did. And then at the end of the meal, I can track anything that I eat back at home, I'm done eating for the day. You can still pre-select what you're going to eat and still use the habits that you would use if you were tracking your food. Like I'm going to a restaurant, I might look at the menu ahead of time. I might already decide what I'm going to order. I'm just not going to put it into my fitness pal. And that might give you the confidence of like, whoa, I didn't need to track my food. I wake up the next day, I'm still the same. I'm me. I still feel great. I didn't overindulge. Like that's just like slowly building confidence. For some people, it might be having a week where you don't track your food. It could be keeping certain meals the same, but just not putting them into MyFitnessPal. There's going to be a million different types of strategies that you can use for different people. It could be like one day on, 2 days off, one day on, 2 days off, just like recalibrate yourself. I would incorporate freedom slowly, slowly, and then keep reflecting back on one, how that's changing your body, which is really important to everybody. And then two, how you feel. Like, are you feeling in control? Are you feeling like you can still maintain your habits and strategies? Are you still feeling like, you know, I've got this? Like, I'm not totally, you're not going to be fear-free. Like, you're still going to be a little bit afraid. But are you like, man, I can do this. This isn't as scary as I thought it was, mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
Yeah, one thing I want to highlight is that over the past 4 or 5 years, I've seen you tracked for a month or so once per year. And so it seems like you're like resharpening the blade. You're resharpening those skills for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something about incorporating freedom. Like I mentioned a bunch just now, how it can be really scary and feeling like you might have to track forever or else you're going to go right back to where you were. For me, knowing that I can track again is really comforting. Like if I've gained a couple pounds and I want to dial it back in, then I can go back to tracking my food and just do that again for a couple months. And sometimes if I go a really long period of time without being really intentional or dialed in with my food, I think I'm better now. Like I just need to re-up my skills. Like I need to get my technique down again. And the more and more that I do that, the better and better I get at it. Mm-hmm. So I feel like now more than ever, I just need to resharpen that stuff less. Mm-hmm. But I think it's more too for me like a confidence thing.
Sure.
I feel confident that I can dial things in without tracking my food. I know what kinds of food work for me. I know how big my meals should be each day. I know how many of them I want to have each day. I can really understand portion sizes a lot more, but it took me a really long time to get there. So for the first 4 years of our relationship, I would go, you know, for the first 2.5 years, I tracked every single day. And then I took some time off, and then I would go back to be like, how am I doing? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a recalibration, rechecking, are my skills still there? Mm-hmm. And then going back.
Nutritional enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for a second when you were making the drug addict analogy that you were going to say it's like a drug addict that goes out and is just like trying to have a little bit of heroin.
Now. No, that's not what I was going to say at all.
Because that would not be good.
But I mean, you can probably attest to going to rehab and then going to regular life. Was there like any fear there
around it? A ton. Yeah, just like having conversations with people that aren't completely sober is scary, and thinking about how to deal with like even the most minute stresses of life is terrifying. So yeah. It ended up being a great analogy.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Okay. So what are the steps one more time before we get
out of here? So building discipline is at the base. Understanding the composition of food items as well as portion sizes, then measuring how that's affecting your body, you know, body weight, measurements, performance, whatever matters to you, then tackling really difficult scenarios, then incorporating freedom at a pace that still allows you to maintain your confidence and your success.
Hell yeah. Sarah, thank you so much for your question. And guys, if you're interested in us answering one of your questions on the show, then you can go to workingagainstgravity.com/podcast, scroll down to the start recording button, leave us a very short, well, it doesn't have to be short, but make it concise, well-articulated. Tell us what your name is and where you're from. And if it's a great one, we'll answer it on here.
Yeah, you might be famous, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.